for you to, when you were studying, how long did you take reading the play? Did you look up other, maybe criticism of the play by others, to just get a sense of it? Any kind of background or research? I mean, besides, I know you did the memoirs, but the play itself, I'm asking you.
Right. Not really. And I actually don't really care that much.
Okay.
About
what other
critiques and other productions or... Mm-hmm. You know what? How people have reacted before. Like, you know, my job is to tell this person's story.
No, okay.
And Lee does a very good job of. I mean, each character is pretty much. I'm trying to remember if that's true with, you know, the press and the state. And you mentioned in your article they are a bit of a caricature.
Yeah.
You know, they play that role in order to fill out Lainey's situation further.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To say this is what she's doing.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, they're you know, as the terrorist, as I refer to, is just another obstacle for myself. But if you want to narrow it down to just Lainey and my character, it's just two people struggling with a problem too big for themselves. There's no judgment there. There's nothing to... disagree with. It's terrible. Her is a little bit more political. My character is written in such a way that his isolation has stripped him away from all a lot of judgment. It comes out in bursts.
Yes.
Not just human nature. But politically, I think he's being very fair. You know, even at the end, you see Lainey saying, "I want to, let's just blow up the country. Let's blow up the Middle East. Why not? I want to kill a million people."
Right.
And it's supposed to be seen not as like a well thought out argument. That's to be seen as a human being pushed beyond her point of
her limits.
Her limits, and that's what it's showing. It's like, let's see how far we can bend the human spirit, and it's proven over and over again to be like the strongest thing on earth. This play shows, and all these memoirs have also shown.
It was beautifully done. You guys, I actually thought, and I think I wrote that in the end, that you guys could have actually just done the roles, and even in the monologue, you could have just said what the press person says, and everything. Not to take away from the other actors, it was just simply that there wasn't enough room given to them to show off.
Right, and that's kind of how the play is written.
But I even say that
fault of the actors.
I would think it takes a lot of courage even to say equally bad. Even that's pretty courageous in times like this.
Come again?
Meaning of the two groups in the play, you know, to show, you know, we share elements with this group, whether you like it or not. We are not angels here. I think that takes a lot of courage to even say that. Even that itself takes a lot of courage, especially in these times. So I'll give him that, the blessing. Like, just see the similarities, like the monologue with Shiloh. As much as you're ready to dislike, you know, the kidnappers, the terrorists, but then you see how the press comes in and you know, the guy is basically, what is he trying to do? Try to get, you know, he wants a Pulitzer. And her, she comes in, and one minute she's, you know, I'm watching you. Before, she never even made it clear to her that I was watching you. But yeah, we do watch you. and how much of this sneaky, underhanded, and how much do they really even care about this woman? You are someone to be used in our game. So it was as much as he's a victim, held captive. She's, in a way, it's self-imposed, but there's also an outside world that's also holding her captive.
I mean, there's a big emphasis on everyone's got to do their job,
right,
too. And that's a good effort from Blessing to not blatantly villainize these two other characters, mm-hmm, like melodramatically.
Right.
That, like, especially with Ellen here, like, she's, you know, Lainey is very close to the problem emotionally, so that, like, when you think from the larger picture, it is Ellen's job to think in a practical sense and,
yes,
say, like, and it's you're going to sound like a bad guy to someone in grief to say, don't do that. It's not going to help, you know, because, like, it might hinder. Like, we have people out there. I have information that we can't, you know, it's like, Ellen is very much stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yes.
She would love to care, but this is her job. And that's a bottom line, too, you know?
Yes. And all those things were conveyed, I mean, and beautifully, well conveyed. But I wanted to go back to what we said originally about you being in that tied up. And when the play began, before the play even began, and I noticed the audience is asked to just walk in. You're in that corner, you're tied up, and you're already in position. Whose idea was that?
You know, it's funny, we've been bumbling around my mind for a while. It's like, that wouldn't make sense. It was actually Brandon who brought it up, being like, would you be comfortable doing this?
Mm. Yeah, I thought about how comfortable is this guy? He's just sitting there.
And I was like, yeah, I guess I'll give it a try. And this was during Tech Week. This was maybe 2 days before the performance. I mean, I wasn't introduced to the handcuffs until 5 days before the performance. Not the blindfold until 6 days before the performance. But people ask me, like, how do you do that? Just an entire half a play, you know, blindfolded, you can't see anything. You got to be so self-conscious or something. And I tell them, I'm so much more comfortable in the first half of the play as an actor than the second half.
Why?
Because, well, first of all, what might look like some sort of hindrance to me, to this responsibility of showing up and just sitting on the stage for 20 minutes, actually, I could turn into a tool for me.
Mm-hmm.
That I had the pleasure of having 20 extra minutes on stage to get me into the place that I need. And it's so easy to be distracted when I'm backstage and there's like, it's like, okay, this little makeup I forgot, or like, let me check my phone one more time. You know, like these things, these little things, there's lights, people are talking, the light guy comes in and out, there's 5 minutes till house, 2 minutes till house, all these things. I was able to just sit there and, you know, I could hear people, and that was a muscle I had to strengthen to just try to
block it out. Okay.
And the same as, I mean, there was a couple of good things going for me. There was the fact that I didn't leave the stage, which again, I got to, you know, you could walk off stage, take a deep breath, okay, I'm still in the theater, I'm okay, and go back on, and then you have to rev up to fifth gear again by the time you enter. I didn't have to do that.
Yeah, I figured convenience sake would probably, they have you there already.
And my concentration was, which is, you know, very important as an actor.
Yeah.
To
amazing.
To just, okay, you got to be here, you got to be here, but you can't say that because then you're going to go crazy. But there's a concentration that's involved, and that was certainly strengthened by the blindfold, you know, because there was nothing to distract me other than a little bit of noise. But it's like, if I was able to just 20 minutes just live in my thoughts, You know, I wasn't looking at anything. I wasn't looking for anything. I could create different people in front of me and explore them visually, tangibly, which recreates a certain meaning there that's carried through different memories. And then, like, okay, I was going, you know, I know when the song's coming up that's going to start. I put myself back in the place. I create my Lainey in front of me. And, like, a lot of actors don't get that opportunity. That's actually a really benefited me so much to just be sitting there.
That's wonderful.
So I started the play in fifth gear rather than first.
And you're already there. You're in it. I remember someone once saying an actor saying to advice to another actor, don't go to the set and think you're to get ready there. Go to the set already in it. Be the character as you're walking through the door and going to the work. Don't become the actor. You become the character while you just got there. It's just so much easier to flow into it. So be that person before you even walk in on set.
I mean, that's true, and that would be a different problem I would have to deal with were I exiting and entering as the other characters were doing.
Right.
Because when you think of every entrance is an exit from somewhere else.
Right.
It sounds like some cliche something or other, but so that, like, that just strengthens your point more, that if I'm walking in the front door, I'm A, coming in from work, but I'm also coming in from a bad day at work or something. And then, so you live that off stage.
Yeah.
Knock, 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 and you're in.
That's an interesting point I wanted to. How do you separate? Because we are, like you said, we are human. Life goes on. Life is there all the time going on there. And for you guys, I guess that is one thing that many, many people are amazed at. How does this person get up there every night and do this for 2 hours or whatever hours and hit those marks, hit that? Do you have a life outside? How do you separate? How can you cut that out? It goes back to the concentration. It goes back to that discipline. Tremendous discipline.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... Emotionally, it doesn't linger that much, you know? There's no point during the play that I'm like, oh my god, I'm actually a captive in the Middle East and have been for 3 years. I would be crazy to get to that point.
Right.
My job is to get the audience to think that's what I'm doing, you know?
Right.
Without faking it. So it's like this weird paradox. So,
but what about real life? Things going on.
Outside.
Exactly. That never stops. Your life's not going to stop and say, oh, you got to play. Okay, hon. I'll let you off.
I mean, that's the difficult thing. And like, yeah, and I guess it goes back to the discipline and that, like, you could be Meryl Streep and you're not gonna just walk off the street onto the stage and do it. Because you could have had that lousy meeting at work, you had a fight with your girlfriend, your dog is sick, your mother's sick, your long lost father called you for the first time in 15 years, you know, like, life does go on.
Yes.
And good stuff goes on.
Yes.
You know, and you got a wonderful surprise, you know. That's all good, and it's wonderful, and you want to accept all that. But, like, I would, you know, personally, and some people do it on a faster pace, and I have to show up an hour and a half before the show, and a lot of it's costume and makeup because I have a lot of that going on.
Right.
I needed a block of time by myself to it's not meditative in the conventional sense, but it is.
I read you do meditate, you like stretching, and those techniques help you.
And the stretching relieves the physical stress of the day.
Yes.
That everyone carries. I carry a particular lot of stress in my jaw and my shoulders. And these, what do you call them? The muscles in between. Yeah, so like doing the physical stretching relieves the physical stress, which allows emotional neutrality in, if you want to call it that.
Got it.
So if I'm able to do that without music, without people in a separate room, I've hit like ground zero.
Okay.
You know? So that by 45 minutes before the show, I can start from zero and build into the character.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, that's not special to me. That's pretty much every actor's intention. And they all have different routines. Sometimes it's music, sometimes it's exercise, sometimes...
Yeah. You have to have some kind of ritual. Like you said, you listen to some music, maybe headphones, 15 minutes just to get away.
Yeah, and then I didn't need that so much of that because I got away for 20 minutes.
Right.
That was a lot.
That was helpful. But for other situations when it won't be, you'll go to that. You mentioned that you went to and studied at the British American Drama Academy,
mm-hmm.
and you said the British look at acting differently, but you didn't elaborate. I'm asking you to elaborate.
I mean, this is very general.
Right. It's your experience. It's your impression. So valid.
I mean, historically, the British are grown on a very Shakespearean level. And there's, you know, you look at Gielgud, you look at these guys, they're incredible actors, and they are the peak of acting either side of the pond, you know. But there is an emphasis to, when it comes to, I'm trying, we get to the same place.
Right.
We just take different routes.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since the group theater, trying to find this organic sense,
mm-hmm.
is kind of coming from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, adding aspects to the character. And if I'm not mistaken, you know, the Brits would like, they would put themselves in the character,
mm-hmm.
and then add aspects of themselves if they're able to do that.
Okay. We don't.
This is not a we or they thing.
Okay.
This is a generalization. This
All
is
right.
like.
But it's still your impression. I mean, and it's,
yeah, and it's certainly with
yeah.
communication being so effortlessly and so much cross pollination of actors.
Yeah.
It's not so much a case. We're talking about 50 years ago.
Right.
60, where you would see a big difference.
You don't see that much now.
You know, if you go 50 years ago, like, the strong side of a British actor would look like they would speak impeccably, right? And they would have this presence on stage,
yeah.
and you could feel the power, and you could see Julius Caesar up there. Whereas the American thing is, since we're all, like, you know, we're all, you know, all Johnny Depps by now, that were like, we'll come from this emotional level that, and then, like, if the line comes out right, then so what? If it doesn't, at least we're alive. These are two very much extremes, you know? And if you're going to find either extreme, they're not going to find a job,
right.
is what I'm getting at. But if one was leaning one way or the other, it would have been that. And, yeah, and I studied there for for a semester. It was a semester abroad. I did a lot of Shakespeare. It was just a bit of an impression that I got, and then coming to study in New York.
I mean, you benefited from it.
Yes, because if you look at that spectrum, you're not going to get a job on either side. You're either going to have no emotion or no technique.
Right.
The idea is to meld the two.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, I was able to go to BADA and do a whole bunch of Shakespeare training and get that discipline.
Yeah.
And that's very physical thing. So something that goes to articulation, to breathing, to